Hello, I'm David Tennant. Welcome to a very special programme here on Radio 2. For the past 4 years now, I have played the Doctor in BBC One's drama series Doctor Who. It's been an incredible journey. It's been unforgettable and quite life-changing. And someone who has been with me on this remarkable adventure through time and space and Cardiff has been the writer, executive producer and showrunner, Mr. Russell T. Davis. In a moment, I'll be talking to Russell about all things Doctor Who, and I'll be asking the man, once dubbed by the Independent newspaper as television's saviour of Saturday night drama, what happens next? Stay tuned. Welcome, everyone, to Who on Who.
I'm the Doctor. I'm a Time Lord. I'm from the planet Gallifrey in the constellation of Castorberus. I'm 903 years old, and I'm the man who's going to save your lives and all 6 billion people on the planet below. You got a problem with that?
No.
In that case...
Allons-y! Hostile elements will be deleted.
Hello, Sarah Jane.
It's you, Doctor. Oh my God, it's you, isn't it?
I am my mummy.
Go ahead, Doctor. Impress me.
It is customary, I think, to have an imaginary friend only during one's childhood. You are to be congratulated on your persistence.
Scopo, tro, no, fro, jo, co, fo, to, do.
No, bo, ho, so, ko, ro, to, so. Bokotozuko, ba, popo, jo.
I'm nothing special. I'm a temp. I'm not even that. I'm nothing.
Donna Noble, you're the most important woman in the whole of creation.
Master K-9!
No need to ask who you are.
Famous Martha Jones. How long since you were last in Britain?
365 days. It's been a long year.
Are you hurt?
Are you hurt?
You don't have to talk.
You don't have to talk.
I'm trying to help.
I'm trying to help.
My name's the Doctor.
My name's the Doctor.
Okay, can you stop?
Okay, can you stop?
I'd like you to stop.
I'd like you to stop.
Don't blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead.
Like you said, Doctor, responsibility.
Defending the Earth. Can't argue with that.
Time Lords are the stuff of legend.
Who's she?
Rose, Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane, Rose.
You can tell you're getting older. Your assistants are getting younger.
I'm not his assistant.
No. I get you, Tiger.
You will be exterminated! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Enough of words. Let's begin.
Here we go! Good luck, Doctor!
Will somebody tell me what's going on?
When he's dying, his body, it repairs itself. It changes.
I'm regenerated.
Every single one of these people knew your name. Now they've all forgotten you.
Good.
Trust me, we need the Doctor.
Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight. It stopped raining. Everybody's in the lake. And don't you know, it's a beautiful day. Hey.
That was Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. As featured in the Doctor Who episode Love and Monsters, of course. There will be lots of songs with a tenuous Doctor Who link being played throughout this programme. You're going to have to guess what's coming next, Russell. Scattered through that, little clips and tasters of the Doctor's journeys over the last few years. The man who has penned many of those is Mr. Russell T. Davis, who is sitting opposite me now. Hello.
Hello, Mr. David Tennant.
How are you doing?
How nice to be here in your home.
Yes. Sit by my crackling fire and let me quiz you about your life and work.
It's like a normal conversation for us, really,
it is.
Isn't it?
This is what we do, and I'm going to be asking the questions to which I don't know any of the answers.
What I like is the fact
I like the fact that you've not turned your phone off.
No, I'm
Look
sorry.
At that.
That's be someone. I'm this sorry.
Is, who's that?
That'll be someone listening and commenting on how marvellous we are. I like the fact that the last person you interviewed on Radio 2 was Kylie Minogue. Fine company that puts me in.
Yes.
In fact, that makes me the next Kylie. Literally.
You are, indeed, you're sitting in the same seat.
Thank
it's
you.
Still warm from her little pert Australian bum.
Moving on.
Yes. By the time the listeners hear this, we will be only a couple of days away from the very final Doctor Who episode that we were both involved in.
The bitter end.
The bitter, bitter
That's
end.
That's what I wanted
the
to call
The glorious
it.
Finale.
Imagine an episode called The Bitter End. All carried out screaming.
So how are you feeling as you stare that in the face?
Excited. Literally, I love this time of year. I love a Doctor Who Christmas. The fact that we are plastered everywhere is deliberate. I don't mean we're personally plastered. I mean that Doctor Who is everywhere.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing. And this final episode is so exciting. You've seen the Time Lords returning and they're evil and led by Timothy Dalton. And what could be more exciting than that, frankly?
Yes. Yes, it is very exciting, isn't it?
Oh, I literally, you make these things, I can't wait for people to see them. I'm literally, yeah. And I do sit and watch them. You watch them on transmission, don't you?
If I possibly can, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Most of the time I do, yeah.
Yes.
When did you decide that this would be your last one?
Well, we both get asked that, don't we? And it's hard. It should keep a diary.
It's not like there was one day, is it?
No, it's not like you wake up one day, you're thinking all the time how much further keep going. I remember we had a very big conversation before the start of The Runaway Bride. We went out for dinner and
we did. Yeah.
Yeah, in Cardiff Bay. Yeah. And again, you don't pin anything down. You go, right, I'm leaving on this exact date. You just sort of think, how much more should we do? And we were coming up with the notion of a gap year at the same time and that we could come back and do specials. But again, that meal wasn't that concrete. Julie Gardner was there. It just sort of coalesces, doesn't it? And then, so with hindsight, you look back and go, oh, we've decided. But it was always fluid, and you were still in a state of flux about it yourself.
Oh, right up until relatively recently, absolutely. Yeah. Right. You know, I was kept hedging my bets.
No further offers coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay off the rent on the flat.
But yeah, it sort of evolved, didn't it? And we did kind of do it slightly hand in hand, I think.
With Julie Gardner as well. Fellow executive. And Phil Collinson, the producer, had already left. He left a year early just because we'd worn him out, I think.
Yes.
Like a used rag.
He ran screaming for the hills.
So it just made sense, and it's continued to make sense with hindsight, really. What I'm pleased about is there's not been one moment where I've gone, oh my God, we've done the wrong thing. Absolutely never. And that's great, because I thought I might do.
Me too. But it feels like we've had the right amount of time to tell a great story.
Yes. It's still hard to know how it'll feel next week.
Yes.
Well, it's done. This is all hypothetical still. It's that we might be sitting there weeping, gutted, dismayed. I don't think so, but it could strike us in all sorts of ways. You just don't know. Because it's still valid now. It's still viable.
Well, it's still ours.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least we're handing it over in rude health.
Hopefully. Oh, very rude is the word for Stephen Moffat. Very, very rude health. So, yeah. Oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the programme.
Yeah.
Never mind that. What about me? What's this interview about?
Have you left, would you consider writing for the show again?
I've not. I've said, bless Stephen, he did ask me through gritted teeth.
Stephen Moffat, by the way, is the new executive producer and head writer on Doctor Who.
He's the new me. I'm the new Kylie. He's the new me. It's
absolutely.
Great showbiz shuffling going on. He's brilliant, wonderful. He's written so many episodes like Blink and The Empty Child and The Girl in the Fireplace with Madame de Pompadour. He's just a genius. So he did ask me, but actually for a start, I've done 60 episodes. You know, and plus,
have you really?
Yeah, I know. 60 Doctor Who's plus all the Torchwoods, plus all the Sarah Janes. There's only so many ways to conquer the world. And I didn't want to sort of write myself thin. But also, they've got this brand new toy box, that new team. They've got Matt Smith, who's going to be a brilliant new doctor. Well, not bad, David. He'll
be fine.
He'll fill a space. Yeah. But I know he's going to be brilliant.
He's going to be great. And they need us out of the way, really.
Well, who wants to be a ghost hanging over? You wouldn't hover over Matt Smith's shoulder. Although that's a good idea for an episode.
It's not a bad idea, yes.
Yeah.
Might do that. That's the anniversary special, isn't it?
They should do like a Jekyll and Hyde one where, you know, he can't stop changing from one to the other.
Stop, you've finished. You've moved on. Right. Stop coming up with ideas.
I shall be silent.
We're going to play you a clip now. This is from 2005. Listen to this.
Doctor! Stay away!
Doctor, tell me what's going on.
I absorbed all the energy of the time vortex, and no one's meant to do that. Every cell in my body's dying.
How can't you do something?
Yeah, I'm doing it now. Time Lords have this little trick. It's sort of a way of cheating death. Except, it means I'm going to change. And I'm not going to see you again. Not like this. Not with this daft old face. And before I go...
Don't say that.
Rose. Before I go, I just want to tell you, you were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you know what? So was I.
And that was when I came on.
Oh, it's good on radio, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's quite good, isn't
it? I enjoy this.
That was Christopher Eccleston, obviously, as the Ninth Doctor.
That was...
The last time you wrote a regeneration scene.
Yes.
This will be your second, of course.
They were Chris's last lines. I wonder what your last lines are, David.
I wonder.
Unless we fiddled with it in the edit, we might surprise you. I might have dubbed you.
I might have surprised you. You've been in America. I've been in recording. I put a little speech in.
With Stephen. Yes, he went in there.
Yeah.
You've done a whole little monologue where you sit down
and
say...
I'd like to thank my family.
I'd like to assess my life as a Time Lord. A gentle viewer, let me take you through it.
Yeah.
No, brilliant. They are such good things to write because you sort of know you know, you think of those 8-year-olds watching, and it's history to them. Mm. You know, I remember it myself. You do as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Just a huge mode of telling. It's not, you know, it sounds a bit posh, but it is a sort of television cultural history, and I think that's important.
This time around, I mean, the first time in 2005, that happened at the end of the first series that you did, the first series of Doctor Who back, and it was all... I don't know that people necessarily knew what was coming. They didn't maybe know, and certainly children maybe didn't know that that's how Doctor Who worked.
Yes.
So there was something more of a surprise. This time, of course, because of the way this show is analysed and the way we have to release the information before it gets leaked, people have known this is coming for over a year now, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And it was always a shame that that first regeneration was spoiled. It was leaked because it was meant to be. Imagine if that had been a total...
If we'd managed to pull off the coup.
Total surprise, which we did manage with you last year.
Yes.
At the end of the episode.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about...
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how things... How our relationship with the press might have evolved.
Absolutely.
Yes. But there's a sort of game in this as well, isn't there? That you're kind of writing a story that the audience are all expecting.
Yes, that it is the fact that everyone knows what's going to happen and yet they don't know how it happens or why.
Is it challenging or is it just liberating to be able to write that flavour in?
It's challenging in the sense that, oh, gosh, you don't want to let people down with that.
Yeah.
And I mean kids especially.
Yeah.
It's like there'll be adults who'll nitpick and adults who'll sit and laugh and enjoy the whole thing. I don't mean they'll laugh at you, David. I just mean they'll laugh with joy. Yes. It's always been one of the greatest engines ever on working on Doctor Who to keep it good and to keep the quality up is children watching. And that, you know, when we watch an episode of a show we don't... Say you've got a show you love and you watch an episode that's not quite so good. We shrug it off and hope it'll be good next week.
Yeah.
When a child does that, their whole week is ruined.
Yeah.
And if you get a bad episode or something, the day is rubbish and you're dismayed and there's a real cloud over you. So that's a great engine on Doctor Who to sort of say, keep the quality up all the time.
How tense did you feel then about getting it right, this finale?
I mean, you've got to write.
Did you just know you'd be able to because the stakes are so high and it just...
I sort of always knew how it would happen. I always knew about the four knocks.
Right.
And why. You know, in a way, it's oh, the whole setup, the how and the why and the where of it. It takes a long time to get a script to the right point, but I always knew we'd get there. And even then, details were clicking into place. It's never completely pre-planned on a piece of paper or something.
No.
In fact, until I write the script, I don't write any sort of treatments or synopses anywhere. So if I'd been run over by a bus, you'd be going through a very different story now.
Yes.
So it's just, I just love it. And having seen, obviously I've seen the finished version, and I could not be happier.
We've got a clip from it now. A little exclusive clip.
Have you?
From the end of time. Listen to this.
Tell me. Where's your TARDIS?
You could be so wonderful.
Where is it?
You're a genius. You're stone cold brilliant. You are, I swear, you really are. But you could be so much more. You could be beautiful. With a mind like that, we could travel the stars. It would be my honour. Because you don't need to own the universe. Just see it. To have the privilege of seeing the whole of time and space. That's ownership enough.
Would it stop then? Noise in my head.
I can help.
Don't know what I'd be without that noise.
I wonder what I'd be without you.
Yeah.
Yes, very exciting. From the final part two of The End of Time. Baby, baby, baby. You are my voodoo child, my voodoo child.